Hello and welcome back to Birthday Skin. Amy is currently sulking because she just lost rock, paper, scissors as to who was going to do the intro of today's podcast.
But you've done it anyway. I wasn't sulking.
Yeah, because you have to say whether it's best out of three or his first time before you do the first one.
So. You're acting like you're master of rock, paper, scissors.
I am.
I'm the one that introduced this to you. Not rock, paper, scissors as a concept. I mean, like doing it to decide.
Oh, yeah. I know you did, but... I mean, we've been known to stand in Sainsbury's and hold up a queue while we've been doing rock, paper, scissors,
disease,
and extra card gets
used. We literally did that, yeah. We were in Sainsbury's and we bought, like, loads of stuff. We bought, like, beer, wine and everything and food.
Ice cream that you then ate on your own.
I bought it back. Let it go. Yeah, and then he was like, we got an extra card, and we looked at each other like, you know how they'd fight?
This is like a 40-quid shop.
They'd fight in, like a Pokemon challenge, and then it'd be like, shh. Yeah. And then like,
he was
paper,
just
scissors.
Stood there he, like, what the fuck
he
are you
really wasn't
doing?
Impressed, was he?
He was like, crying.
These millennials. God.
Yeah, regardless, we can't make decisions and we spend £40 in Sainsbury's. But today's episode is all about the way that sugar affects your skin.
Yes. May I just add, you scoffed a big fat trifle before this.
And I've got a nice can of gin and tonic on the go.
Yeah, so have I. We are so minging.
We practice what we preach.
I love it. It's like when we did the... episode on alcohol, and we'd literally drank a
God,
bottle of wine before
pissed.
It. Yeah,
we pissed.
I love it.
We pissed.
We pissed. Put that gin and tonic can down.
Well, essentially, we were researching something else, weren't we? And we came across the fact that apparently sugar is just really bad for your skin. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't necessarily aware how it would affect you. I thought it would be one of those things where it's like, it's not good for you, so it's just inflammation, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually so much more than that.
So complicated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which I'm going to let you decide later. You explain later.
Yeah. So it's basically a process called glycation, which we have briefly touched upon in a previous episode. But we figured that we could do a full ep kind of based around that.
And
anyway.
I think it's quite interesting.
It's super interesting, yeah, definitely. So we're going to run through the effects of a high sugar diet on your skin, what glycation is and how long it takes, how sugar actually changes the chemical makeup of our cells, and then ways to fight it. Mm-hmm. So would you like to start, Ames? Because I know you've looked quite a lot into having a high sugary diet.
Yeah, so I'm just going to look in general at how your skin will react if you do have a high sugar diet. So like the first one, excess sugar in your bloodstream, like you just said, it causes glycation. And like we just mentioned, you're going to go into this a little bit more later. Mm-hmm. But in a nutshell, this is basically a natural chemical reaction which happens when the sugar levels in your bloodstream spike mm-hmm. beyond what our insulin can handle.
Yeah. But if you are diabetic, you'll probably know a lot about this anyway, or if you know somebody who's diabetic, you understand what like spikes in insulin levels and that kind of thing means. But essentially your body can handle a certain amount. It's like a very individual thing, but there's a lot of people who are diabetic have to look at the glycemic index of a food or a drink or something to figure out whether it's going to balance them out or whether it's going to be too much for them or whether they need it to bring them back up to a safe or a healthy blood sugar level. And like we said, I'm going to speak in about that a little bit later, but I just thought I might add that people might already understand what that means.
Yeah. So I'll let you go into glycation. I have a few notes on it, but
yeah.
We could rock, paper, scissors all night long, but the truth is you would be better at explaining it than me.
Yeah. So essentially, glycation is when, like you were just saying, when there's an excess of sugar in your bloodstream. Oh my God, help.
Bloodstream.
In your bloodstream, it causes a process called glycation, which is a chemical reaction within our bodies that happens when we spike beyond what our insulin can handle, and it essentially just creates a situation in your cells whereby the sugar attaches to the collagen protein and then it stops it from forming like a strong structure. So it makes you super wrinkly. Basically just means that your collagen cells can't perform as they normally would.
And I think in every ep we talk about how important collagen is and how it's important to keep it healthy.
And something that you can do is obviously take collagen supplements. We looked into that, didn't we? And mm-hmm. we were, like we said in the last ep, baffled.
We were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that it did actually work. Like I've said before, we look at loads of papers and stuff. Are you picking off your godly £25 a set of nails?
I've just picked off. I'm getting them done in the morning.
Oh, God.
I've just picked off one. Look how long it is.
She's right now picking off her gels and just dropping them
on the laptop. I didn't actually mean to drop it on the floor, sorry.
You're a scruff. Anyway, yeah, so the glycation takes... It starts to show kind of at the age of 30 to 35-ish if you've had a high sugar diet. Mm. But essentially, once your cells undergo the process of glycation, there's a new substance that's created, and that's what obviously disrupts them all. So it's actually something, it's called an age, which is quite appropriate because it makes your skin look aged. Mm. But it's the advanced glycation end product, and it's just really destructive. So it just breaks down elastin, degrades collagen. And like we said, that is what's key to making sure that your skin is supple and firm. So there's loads of things we can do to really protect those proteins. And having a high sugar diet is just really bad for you. Mm. Well, really bad for yourself. Obviously, it's not good for you. It's worth me saying now as well that when we're talking about sugary diets, we're not talking about necking a bag of Haribos or,
yeah, and like full-fat Coke and stuff.
Yeah, because they are sugary, obviously, so you do need to avoid them. But if you have a really high diet in fruit and vegetables, obviously quite a lot of veg is quite carby, fruits are quite carby, that breaks down into sugar. If they're quite sugary anyway, that's your natural sugars. So if you sat listening thinking, oh yeah, it's fine because I live a refined sugar-free diet, that's still not really going to cut everything out, because the chances are you're probably just making up for any refined sugar by adding in more fruit sugar or naturally occurring sugars. Mm. And that's still a problem. Now, in terms of what glycation looks like, you know, when you see, I'm going to say an older person, I'm not going to put an age on it, but mm-hmm. when you see wrinkles that aren't just kind of lines that are in one direction, so they're like, they're not horizontal and they're not vertical or whatever.
Like dry sand in the desert.
Yeah, it basically looks like cross-hatched wrinkles. So the skin isn't sagging and it's not wrinkly. It's kind of both. So it just looks like, I don't know, I'm looking at my knuckles right now and you see how, because obviously they move in all different ways, you've got a lot of lines running across your knuckles. Mm-hmm. That's what glycation looks like, but over your whole body. So it's not just your face, it's like your arms, especially your chest, and like for a woman, a bust area. Yeah. And it happens quite a lot on your hands as well, especially when you have a lot of sun damage, because like we said, sun damage and the free radicals caused by UVA and UVB rays breaks down collagen cells as well. So over time, this is why it kind of starts to peak at about 30 to 35, or you'll start to notice it, because it's not just the glycation. So it'll be glycation, it'll be sun damage, it'll just be general aging anyway, lack of the right vitamins in your skin, or a lack of your body producing hyaluronic acid and that kind of thing. But I have looked into a little bit about how you can fight glycation, mm-hmm. if you would like me to go into that.
Go on.
So we are going to talk about exfoliation in a couple of episodes' time, but PHAs is something I'm going to go into. So it's a polyhydroxy acid. It's like a really gentle exfoliator, or it's like a cousin of a BHA or an AHA, alpha or beta hydroxy acids. This all sounds very confusing, but trust me, I'm going to try and make it simple. They're really good at helping fight any of the signs of aging through glycation. But in terms of deglycation, what you can do is you can live a low glycemic index diet. So you want to be eating slow releasing carbohydrates like brown bread over white bread. I know sometimes people don't really care about the calories, but there's just a lot more sugar in white bread than there is brown bread. So it will stop your insulin levels from spiking, okay. and then going over the threshold for what your body can actually handle, yeah. because that's that. As soon as you go over, that's when glycation starts to happen. So there's another thing that you can take. It's called carnosine. If you go to the gym quite a lot, or you take supplements for the gym, a lot of people, or bodybuilders, or people trying to build muscle, will take L-carnosine, and that's really useful for repairing muscles. So it's like on a very cellular level. You can take carnosine or L-carnosine. I did look into the differences between them, and I couldn't find anything that really made sense for me to relay on here.
Yeah.
But obviously it's doing a similar thing, so it's helping to repair anything. So if you started taking carnosine, then you might notice a difference in your skin. But like I said, this takes a long time to happen. Yeah. So if you want into, or if you're into your supplements, and I would suggest getting carnosine because it's good for your skin anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I read that if you take vitamins B1 and B6, they're really good for it as well. So essentially they all work together to get in there and break down that protein. So, you know, I was talking about the advanced glycation end products. That is a protein that breaks the collagen and elastin. If you have these vitamins and like carnosine and things like that, it will go in and it will try and kill the age. So as soon as you start to kill that, then your elastin and your collagen can build back up again and be all healthy and la-la. Super quickly, vitamin B1 is found in chickpeas, salmon and potatoes, which is great for me because I do love a little bit of a chickpea and salmon curry. And B6 is found in pork, sunflower seeds and wheat germ. So
a big fan of pork, are you, Charlie?
I'm not. Oh God, you make it sound so sexual, you freak. You're not a fan of pork.
I didn't mean to make it sound sexual. You're the one that's made it pork. Weird.
It is a nice word though.
You don't like pork, but I'm sure you're going to a hog roast tomorrow.
Oh, don't, I know.
So a little story here.
Oh God.
Charlie doesn't eat any meat. She's a pescatarian, aside chicken, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you still eat chicken, you still eat white meat. So she's been given up pork for like as long as you've been with Al, haven't you?
Yeah.
So Alex's parents don't, if ever you go around and they've made beef or pork, she'll make you something else.
Yeah, well, it's the fact that I'll go around to Alex's house and his mum is like pro host. Like she even has Airbnbs. Like she runs her own Airbnbs. That's how much of a fantastic host she is. So now she knows that basically I just eat fish and chicken. She will make a fish dish, a chicken dish, and often then she'll make something different like beef or pork or lamb or whatever for everybody else. So I used to love a hog roast, and there's a hog roast thing happening tomorrow. And
are you gonna say the truth?
No. But the problem is, I know that Alex's mum wouldn't be arsed if I had a bit of the pork because they were my favourite. However, number one, as soon as I see the pig on a stick, I'm probably going to be like, oh, I can't eat that. And number two, she always makes such an effort to not give me pork that if I went and ate it, she'd be like, she could eat quite easily, be like, I don't need to go to the effort because if you can eat it now, then you can eat it whenever, which is fair.
So you've said, haven't you, you're going to make Alex bring you a little...
I said
pork
that...
roll to the toilet so you can scoff it in there and then go out and just be like, oh, pork is disgusting.
Well, I said, no, I
said, disgusting.
This is why Alex is the perfect person for me, because I said to him, oh my God, I used to love a hog roast. And he was like, how about I get one and then we go and hide and you can eat it with me? And I was like, oh, I'd love that. And he was like, you go to the bathroom and then I'll bring you up a hog roast bap. You can eat it in there.
And then off you go.
Yeah, and I was like, I love you.
Bop.
But I'm not going to do that.
Yes, you will.
No, I once cried because my mum put bacon in the minestrone and didn't tell me until afterwards that there was bacon in it. And I was like, how dare you give me bacon without telling me?
Mum, I'm a new woman. I've told you this.
Like, it was so fucking delicious. But can I just say, I don't eat pork or beef because I feel like my healthiest diet is when I don't eat them. It's not because, I mean, pigs and cows are my fave. However, I feel like I might sound like a bit of a hypocrite when I'm
poor
still eating
chicken. Yeah. Poor little chick.
No, it's just because I can eat the healthiest and it's probably the best for the environment if I just leave them out.
Mm, fair enough.
Yeah.
I had a few other little tips on how sugar can cause bad stuff to happen to your skin. I really didn't think of that sentence in my head before I said it, before it blurted out.
Can cause bad things.
So I just wanted to talk about the spike. Yeah, you drink your gin and tonic. So it can also cause a spike in inflammation inside your body. So when your insulin spikes, it causes inflammation, like I've just said. So this
can
worsen.
Do you want to say it in another way? Just in case, just for a third time.
When your insulin spikes, you get inflamed, which can worsen inflammatory skin conditions like psoriasis, acne, rosacea.
You know the word... You know the word inflammation or inflame? It reminds me of Nicholas Flamel from Harry Potter. Nicholas Flamel, like Hermione says. Sorry, carry on.
Cool. Have you ever seen that Vine where he goes, "You got a yachsm"?
No.
"You got a yachsm"? Let me see if I can find it on YouTube. Are you ready?
Yep.
X-ma. So every time I say X-ma now, I'm like, "You got X-ma." Can't believe you've not seen that before.
X-ma.
But yeah, so if you've got already inflammatory skin conditions, then eating a high sugar diet is just going to make those worse because it's going to make your skin more inflamed than it already is.
Yeah.
And when the inflammation in your body is increased, it causes your body to produce more stress hormones like cortisol. I feel like we've mentioned cortisol quite a lot in the past few episodes. But cortisol basically boosts your skin's oil production.
Mm-hmm.
And this will give bacteria a more greasy environment that they need to grow and populate, which is absolutely gross.
Yeah.
But also, my last little point, a high sugar diet also suppresses your body's white blood cells.
Oh, God.
And these little amazing little blood cells.
That's what carries your red blood cells, isn't
it? Yeah, they're also responsible for fighting off infection. So without them, it leaves you vulnerable to acne, causing bacteria lurking all over your skin.
Oh.
I know, that was my point. So basically, it's going to make glycation happen. You're going to look saggy when you're older. You're going to get inflamed and you're going to get more spots.
Oh, my God. That
so try and keep your sugar levels to a low so you don't get yaksma.
Yaksma. Having a high sugar diet is not going to give you eczema.
No, it won't. But if you've got eczema and you have a high sugar diet, it's going to make you yaksma worse.
Stop. I wish people could see how you're saying it. The one day I don't bring the camera in. Yaksma. So essentially you can't avoid sugar at all costs, but just be aware of it. And there's plenty of apps and stuff now that'll show you like you can scan a food and it will give you like the glycemic index of it. So that'll be able to help you. But just put the Haribo down. I think, to be honest, when I was a kid, I was never allowed fizzy drinks and I never really liked sweets. I'm more of a savoury person.
Oh, I'm such a sweet person.
I don't find it hard. I don't like fruit all that much. There's a few fruits that I just can't resist, like a peach or a nectarine. I like an anana now and again.
I bloody love an anana.
In general, I just much prefer a savoury treat.
My friend Amy told me, and it's something you might have to look up, because she like does keto quite often, and obviously you have to be very aware of sugar. You're not allowed sugar on a keto diet. She said that take the amount of grams that's something in sugar.
I think I told you this. Divided by four.
Divided by four, and that's how many teaspoons
are in it. How many teaspoons are in this little 250ml can of gin and tonic?
So it doesn't actually say.
Well, thank you very much to Gordon.
Yeah, cheers, Gordon's. Other brands are available.
Other brands are available that tell you how much sugar's in it.
Yeah, well, it is a multi-pack, so it's probably on the bigger pack.
I don't care. I've been handed this on my own. I would quite like to know what it is. Anyway, yeah, divided by four, and that will give you the teaspoons.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ames, I'm going to go, and I will update you on the hog roast situation.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Yeah, I'm slightly nervous.
You'll be fine.
I just love pigs.
I love pigs. I love fluffy cows.
I know, but I don't get it because you still eat beef.
Yeah, but I really like it.
It's like my mum. She cries. She's like, "Oh my God, I can't watch that new David Attenborough program because it just shows loads of little animals getting killed." And I was like, "Yeah, mum, but that's life. Like, if Rafa, our pet dog, lived in the wild, he would kill an animal to eat it because he'd be hungry and wild and he wouldn't have you giving him three meals a day whenever he wants or bringing him home a Sunday roast when you've been out for a carvery on a Sunday."
I am quite ignorant to the whole like...
Yeah, but then she's like, "Oh, I know, but they're just so cute. I just hate it." And I'm like, "No, mum, I'm sorry. Lions kill things. Baby giraffes get eaten. Zebras get eaten. The list goes on and on." And then she's like, "So I'm going to make lamb chops, pork chops and a beef joint for Sunday dinner this week." And I'm like, you're crying saying that you don't want to see a little zebra or a little tiger cub or something get killed, but you're happily killing these cows and having them for your Sunday dinner. It's completely different. It's the same thing, sorry. It's not different at all.
We're getting on a tangent here.
We are. We definitely are, but
I'd like to leave it because I'm guilty of doing the same thing as your mum.
I know. People just need to be more aware.
I am aware. I just choose to still eat it.
Bitch.
My stepnan actually owns a farm, so...
Yeah.
Meat.
Well, if you are going to eat meat, then you should shop locally.
Locally, yeah.
Instead of going to the big supermarkets. And on that note, I'm going to stop with my preaching because people probably hate me.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye now.
Yaksma!